Hello, everybody. This is Dwayne McCochran with the Community From Within Economic Development Podcast. And I'm recording this today on, what is today's date? Wednesday, August 21st, 2019. I'm not sure when I'll actually put this episode out, but that's when I'm recording it. Driving home, as usual, after work. I have a long drive every day, so trying to make the most of my time and be productive. Nice hot day here today, and my poor little accent without air conditioning is a balmy. I have to put a thermometer in here. It's warm. I'm just sweating sitting here. Let's see. First of all, the Community From Within podcast is brought to you by Good Boy Dog Treats. Good Boy Spent Grain Dog Treats. That's spent grain, which is malted barley left over from the brewing process of a local craft brewery. Therefore, it's high in protein. They're also made with organic flour, free-range eggs. And right now, they make peanut butter flavor, looking at possibly expanding into other flavors like sweet potato. Have to do some experimentation with that. And when I say they, I mean I. It's my own company, Good Boy Dog Treats. And happy to report we're now on the shelves of our first retail outlet. So if you're driving down Route 19 in Judic, you can stop at Wayne's Variety. It's a convenience store in Judic at 5447 Route 19. And they carry Good Boy Dog Treats there in the pet food section of the convenience store. You can also go to goodboy.ca, that's goodboi.ca, and find out where we're going to be as far as markets. We are doing the Mabu Farmers Market whenever we can, but this year it's our first year. We applied late once we started this business, therefore we only get a spot if it opens up. We're what's called a casual vendor, so we don't automatically get a spot every week. We've been fortunate the last 3 weeks in a row we had a spot. Hoping to be there again this week on the 25th, but we'll see. I usually post a day or two before at the latest, once I find out if there's a spot for us at the Mabu Farmers Market. But either way, if we're not there, if you've never been to the Mabu Farmers Market in Mabu, Cape Breton Island, Nova Scotia, you have to go. It's the best farmers market in the province by far. It's huge. There's always at least 60 vendors, and everything from fresh produce and meats to, I mean, crafts and you name it. And hopefully, dog treats. Now, what else? So a few episodes ago, I talked about a few things. Talked about how government works. And I wanted to just clarify a few things. I was talking there on one episode about how many federal employees there might be in Canada. So I looked that up. So I had the statistic. The federal public service in 2019 in Canada has 287,978 employees. So a huge number of employees there. It's about 1%, I guess, of the Canadian population, roughly. A little bit less than 1%. There's 33 to 35 million people in Canada. A little under 300,000, just under 1%. Also talked about Parliament and how when parties get elected and majorities, things like that. There are 338 seats in the Canadian Parliament. The way it's distributed, there's a minimum number per province, and that's established by the Canadian Constitution. But that minimum can be increased depending on population. And so I'm just going to read out to you there so you get an idea of what that looks like. Ontario, in order of largest to smallest. So Ontario has the most population in Canada. They have a minimum number of seats at 95, but they have in actuality 121 seats. Quebec is next with 75 minimum and a 78 actual. Next is British Columbia. They have a minimum 28, but an actual 42 seats. Alberta has a minimum 21, but actually 34. The rest of the province all just have their minimum. Their actual is the minimum. Manitoba and Saskatchewan each have 14 seats. Nova Scotia has 11. New Brunswick has 10. Newfoundland and Labrador have 7. PEI has 4. And also, each of the three territories in the north have one seat. The Yukon, Northwest Territories, and Nunavut each have one seat. What other housekeeping here? I talked a little bit in a previous episode as well about the airport issue in Inverness. As of a couple weeks ago, it was announced that the federal government is putting a hold on the project. They're not pushing it. They've asked the proponents to resubmit a new application describing the benefits to the community. I think there was there's certainly people in favor of and opposed to it, but the people opposed did make a lot of noise, and they got heard, and so the project was put on hold. I believe the statement from some of the proponents is that they're going to await until after the federal election, which happens in October of this year, before they resubmit. And this issue is not going to go away anytime soon, and so I haven't taken a side either way in this. I'm just following it closely because I'm a lover of all things politics. So it will be interesting to see what happens. We're not done with the issue over an airport in Inverness. So what else are we going to talk about today? Okay, so well, I call this a community economic development podcast. I think I might have touched on this a little bit in the past, but what is community economic development, CED? The term itself, I had a conversation many years ago with some people that were involved in development work, and they talked about how that term, it's in essence getting to be an old term. And maybe some new term should be required to describe the new programs and processes that are being used. Like the old style community economic development, a lot of times there's a lot of top-down economic development, as opposed to newer methods and newer methodologies. Since the late 90s onward, you have things like asset-based community development. Instead of going into a community saying, we have money for a project, what do you want to do? You go into a community and you see what they can do without money, first of all. What can they do on their own? How far can they possibly get without assistance before they're offered any or before they have to ask any? It's about discovering the assets of your community. I'm going to talk more about asset-based community development, things like that, as a specific podcast down the road. Excuse me, But what I wanted to get at is the last few episodes I've been talking more about, I guess you could say, private business. I talked about starting my own business and talked about how you can go about doing that. And I talked about creating, the steps of coming up with a name and registering that name officially. So some people don't always think of that as community economic development. Some people think of community economic development as, community enterprises, nonprofit organizations, cooperatives. And as far as this podcast is concerned, it's I'm looking at all of it. Community economic development to me is all of that. Both community enterprises, social enterprises, and private business. And So I guess, my early years involved in community economic development, that was what we looked at, was how can we get things going? And I guess that's how I saw it, right? I saw it as how can we start something here and it would be community owned. I learned about the cooperative movement. I learned about the Antigonish movement and Moses Cody and all these, efforts to create credit unions and co-op grocery stores and fishermen's co-ops and all that. And I was, and I am still a huge fan of those. But as I, you know, I think I briefly touched on this in the past as well. As I, you know, you go through that community development process, you know, engaging community members, trying to come up with consensus building, that sort of thing. You can have great success with it, but it also, you know, it can be frustrating at times. And so I started to wonder if I could, in essence, make a difference in my community by going a different route. And in essence, can I, as you know, let's say as a private business person, create a business and maybe from that contribute in a meaningful way? So I started that dog tree company. I put out a lot of expenses, for one thing, to get things going. I don't know if I've talked about so much of that yet or not, but anyway, the point being, I'm not rolling in dough or anything from it, so I don't have any money to start spreading around. So the point is, you know, I thought about this. Sometimes you'll see a business say a percentage of the profits goes to this charity or this organization. For me, the no-brainer would be to say a percentage of every bag of dog treats sold goes to this, you know, animal shelter, for example, or this pet adoption agency. I'm not saying I'm opposed to that or I'm not going to do that. I'm just not in the position to do that yet. And I want to put more effort and research into how I go about that, if I do something like that. But I also have other broader ideas about supporting community economic development in general. From a private business person's perspective, how do I work on fostering community economic development? Part of all that, of course, just this podcast. That's what this podcast is about. My goal here is to talk about my experiences in economic development and as a private business owner, to share as much as I possibly can with you about my own business, my own efforts, my experiences, especially hopefully my failures and my successes, yes, and ultimately I hope if you have a great idea for a business, you might be motivated to kickstart that and move forward. Because I think when this episode comes out, it's going to be after the two episodes I'm doing about naming and registering a business. So I hope that if you followed those episodes, you know, there's going to be a companion video on YouTube about the registering your business process, and it's the Nova Scotia context here, but with the Nova Scotia's Registry of Joint Stocks. If you watch that video and see how really simple it is to, you know, start that process of registering your name, and there'll be a follow-up to that after. If the name is approved, I can go through the actual registering of that name, and I'll do a similar companion video to the podcast. But, like, so I think, you know, for me in the past, it was the official stuff, the paperwork, the red tape, the hoops you had to jump through in order to start a business that just seemed so scary. Many, many years ago, 2002, maybe 2003, after I first got involved with my local community development group in Jiddick, there was a gathering of all the 16 community development groups in Inverness County. We gathered at this newly opened Inverness County Center for the Arts, and there were some people there from, at the time, there was Enterprise Cape Breton, there was InReach, which is another economic development group. There is the RDA, which is the Regional Development Authority. There's all these, both government and quasi-government and arm's length economic development groups there. And I remember standing up and holding up in my hands like 8 different documents. And all these 8 documents were, you know, basically a fill-in-the-blank business plans for each of these organizations. And I talked about how ridiculous this was. Why can't you all get together and create one document so that if a person is coming to you for help or funding, they just create one business plan and send it to you? Why do I need to fill out this one for you, this one for you? They're all asking different questions, you know. And it just seems so ridiculously complicated. Another experience I had, I had an idea for a business. I think I may have talked about this in the past. But it was actually, it had to do with growing hops. Hops, I saw at the time, this is back early 2000s, I knew that hops were going to be big. There's a demand for them worldwide. All these craft breweries were opening. And I had hops growing on my grandfather's old property. There were hops growing wild. And then obviously they're brought over. I think somebody told me years ago, the Scottish, when they came over from Scotland, they brought hop plants with them because you can get yeast from hops to make your bread. I believe that's true. But there's yeast that comes from the hop plant that you can use to make bread. Don't know if, I think that's where these plants may have come from. But anyway, point being, I thought if I could start propagating these hops, and I just wanted a little bit of help. Where do I go if I need this information? How do I start this? And it was mind-boggling. I would go to this group, and they would say, oh, you have to go over and talk to these people at that group. I go to that group. I go to this group. And it was really frustrating, and in the end, I gave up. I had no idea what to do. So you could almost say that planted the seed back then for, in essence, what this community economic development podcast is, you know, going to be about in many ways. And that is, and I mentioned this before, I want to start a business from scratch with nothing at all and go through every single step along the way and bring you with me. So that, to tie this all together, the point of this podcast is to, you know, have you come up with an idea, or if you have an idea, how do you make the step forward and see it's doable. It's so doable. That's what I want to do with this. And I hope it's, you know, I hope it helps, and I hope it's worth it. And I hope, I just hope you get something out of it. And if at any point, I said this before, but go to the website, communityfromwithin.com, and use the contact form there. Send me a message if you have any questions at all, if you have any topics you want me to cover. And I'll do my best to answer everything. Overall, you know, the context for what I'm doing is based here in Cape Breton Island, Nova Scotia, Canada. So it's the Canadian context, it's the Nova Scotia context. And to make it as local as possible, it's the Cape Breton Island context. That's what I'm shooting at. But the basic premise is going to be the same anywhere in the world, I would imagine. Sometimes the red tape might be a little more than others. But, the truth is, and this is no secret, like, you don't have to go through all that, really, to get started with something with a simple idea. You don't have to register a business to go and, you know, set up as a vendor at a farmer's market. If you have an idea for a product that's in farmers markets, or even just setting up, you know, finding a spot on the side of the road to put up a little tent, or operating a business out of your home, what they call the informal economy is probably, you know, I don't know what the percentage is, probably just as big as the real economy in many ways. The informal economy, as they call it. Government doesn't really like the informal economy because they don't necessarily get taxes from the sale of your products, let's say. But you know, for the most part, I think government turns a blind eye to it, as long as it's, you know, within a certain bounds, you know what I mean? Because I think everybody understands that either A, if you're doing something like that, like let's say you're baking apple pies out of your kitchen and you're selling them somewhere. People come to your house to buy the pies because you put a poster up somewhere about it. You know, A, you wouldn't be doing that unless maybe you needed to, you felt you needed to. It could be a hobby simply, but I think, you know, I think generally government people want to see that continue and you know, blossom into something bigger, maybe. The informal economy is in many ways the first step toward the real economy. You come up with a simple idea, you want to test it out. So, you have an idea for a business. Again, depending on what it is, there's certain things you're not allowed to do unless you have the proper certificates and licenses and things like that. We'll talk about that more in the future, I think. There's certain products you're not allowed to sell because they're regulated. But, you know, if you have a product or service, a basic product or service that's generally, you know, acceptable and doesn't require special licensing anyway, then there's no reason to not, you know, to just try it out on a small scale. Test things out. You know, I remember years ago I had a friend. I don't know where it ever happened or where it went. He was a business person. Ran several businesses. Really good at what he does. Happy guy. Productive. Had an accident. It was an automobile accident. And from that time on, lived with chronic pain. So much so that he had to scale back what he could do. Sold off a couple of the businesses. And in the end, I think he ended up selling all of his businesses. And he just didn't know what to do with himself. But he had this idea. Because he had, you know, the one thing he could do, he couldn't lift anything or move much. But he still had his brain, he still had his eyes and his mouth and his ears. So he, you know, he had a great eye for detail. He had a great eye for marketing. You know, so he was telling me that, you know, we were actually sitting in a pub one day talking about this. He said, you know what I'd love to do? I'd love to, like this place, I'd love to come in here, talk to the owner and, you know, tell me, as like a consultant almost, just help do this, this, and this, spruce this up. You could drive traffic this way. You could bring more people in if you do this and this and this. And he had all these great ideas for that pub. And he says, I had all these ideas for other places, but he doesn't know where to start. And all I said to him was, just do it. Talk to the owner. Say, look, I have all these ideas. This is what I'd like to do. I'd like to start a business doing this, and I'll do it for you for, you know, for free as a practice. And if you like what I do, you know, you give me some, you know, some good feedback and word of mouth so I can grow this business I want to start. Unfortunately, that's the last time I ever saw the guy, so I don't know whatever happened to him. If he was still around or if he did that or moved away, I have no idea. But just, you know, if you have an idea for something like that, just go do it. I want to be able to talk about things I think I know for sure. No expert here, folks. And oftentimes just my opinion or what I think I know. I'm very possibly wrong about a lot of things, but my point is, that's what I want to focus on. I don't want to be bringing up cliches all the time. There's enough of that, you know, but the truth is, you know, if it's going to be a successful business, or business idea, you have to add value. If you've ever heard anybody talk about business before, business, a successful business is one that adds value to people. So if you can demonstrate that you're bringing value to the table, then you can be successful with your idea. So let's see here. So yeah, in many ways, I had this podcast where this podcast grew out of a blog I had, and I think in one of the first couple posts, I'd have to go back and check. Sorry, I don't remember. I think I talked in essence about how, you know, there's community enterprises, there's private businesses. We know if, you know, there's things like corporate social responsibility, you know, businesses that do charitable acts, things like that. I guess, you know, I'm not saying I'm going to, you know, come up with an entirely new model, but I just wonder sometimes, I wondered and still wonder, could a business operate in a different way? We hear it all the time of businesses. A business, especially, you know, they say a corporation is like a person, but they have personhood status in the legal, like, in the eyes of a government. What, how's it going? A corporation is a person in the eyes of the government. They have almost like a person status. But they're driven by one thing, and that's only profit. Profit only. They have to make money. They have to make money for their shareholders. Legally. That's something I would hear all the time. And so you hear that, and you hear things like corporate social responsibility and companies doing great things. In communities, and then you gotta, like, why are they doing that? Are they? I think it's fantastic when a company helps out a community organization or does charitable work in some way. It's fantastic. But at the same time, you know, sometimes it just bothers you a little bit, you know, when you see, you know, corporate logos on, you know, a community park or playground. It's like, but then again, so, you know, if a company is going to do that, you know, they should be able to get the credit for it, shouldn't they? But why are they doing it? They're doing it from altruistic reasons, or are they doing it because it, you know, ultimately it's going to be better for the bottom line? And if it's better for the bottom line, then what's, you know, is that not a win-win scenario? There's a lot of these aspects from running a business that I don't know about. So that's what I wonder about. That's what I want to do. That's why I want to run my own business. I can't sit here as a, you know, say a community economic development person who's had all this experience with nonprofit groups, and I can't talk about what I think a private business person or a corporation should do if I have zero experience running a private business or a corporation. So that's part of what this is all about as well. But along the way, I want to try to keep a focus on that. There's a bigger picture here. I talked about the monkey business program. So I'll lay it out here. I don't know if I think I've touched on it a little bit. But so the monkey business program was something in 1991. It was a summer camp for kids around 11 or 12 years old. 13 maybe, I can't remember. And there was about 30 or 40 of us. And we spent 1 week at the University College of Cape Breton on their campus, what's now CBU. It's a program sponsored by the federal government. They had, you know, like there's a director and camp counselors. There's a week-long program about business, science, technology, and a special focus on entrepreneurship. It got us all fired up about how to run a business, basically. And that stuck with me my whole life. And I know we have, there's programs in high schools, they have junior achievers. The next step after Monkey Business, I think there was another program called Shad Valley. I don't know enough about that. I never went to it. And I was never part of Junior Achievers. And when I was in high school, we didn't have those entrepreneurship classes. So I don't know enough about them. But I still, in my mind, I think, you know, especially in the summertime, when school's out, like, what about a summer camp for kids to do this? And you could have more than 1 week. You could, you know, it could be all summer long and bring kids from all over Cape Breton Island to it to do this. I thought about, in the past, as part of a non-profit group, trying to come up with an application to do this, again, sponsored by the federal government or provincial government. But as I grew more and more toward this idea, I started thinking, is there another way to do it? If I want to be part of a business community, should and foster more economic growth, and I want to think about, you know, things that are good for the community, in essence, you know, not a new model of business development, but a community-focused business model of development. Can I work this all together some way and grow a business enough to make this happen? Or grow some businesses enough to make this happen? Or bring in other people eventually to make that happen? I don't know where this is all going to lead. But I think ultimately that's tentatively a goal of all of this, of my own personal life. Because that summer camp, that program, had such an impact on me. I would like to be able to replicate that in some fashion down the road. So, yeah, that's where this is all hopefully going to go someday. And as part of that, I hope I bring you along with me. I hope you ever had any little idea for business. Maybe you've run a business. Maybe I hope you get something out of this. But I would love to find out someday. That would be huge, to find out someday somebody listened to this and said, "The hell with it, I'm gonna kickstart this business of mine." And they were able to use even just one little thing from what I talked about that, you know, helped them along the way. If I can make a person realize that their idea has value and is worth pursuing, and they get some kind of personal fulfillment from that. I think that's about it. I think that's about it for today. I feel good. I love talking about this stuff. I mentioned this a couple episodes ago. Last week I recorded an episode on my drive home from work, and I phoned it in bad. Oh, it was terrible. I think I'm going to save it, and I may, you know, down the road even post it just with a warning, a disclaimer. Just so you could hear how terrible it was. I'm not making any promises. I might just delete the file. It was terrible. I think I was really, really tired and just not motivated. But this week I feel a lot better. I'll let you know something going on in my personal life a little bit. 2 weeks ago, I got a CPAP machine. So, you know, I haven't been feeling like I had a great night's sleep in a long time. And as most people probably don't realize, you know, I didn't know that I snored, and I snored loudly. And my wife told me it actually got to the point where I would stop breathing for a few seconds here and there in my sleep. And then, you know, it's like I stopped breathing, and then I'd kind of choke and start breathing again in my sleep. And I was talking to one of my best friends. He's with the Lung Association of Nova Scotia. And he said, you should look into a CPAP machine. I never realized the Lung Association of Nova Scotia. I always thought it was, you know, more about, you know, campaigns to help people quit smoking and stuff. But of course, you know, it's all about breathing. Not just, you know, the smoking cessation programs, but anything about breathing in your lungs. So they have a program, I think, where they help people get CPAP machines if you can't afford them. They refurbish them and stuff. But he told me that about this, you know, what I have is maybe some form of sleep apnea, and I should look into it. So I look into it. I went to, there's a business in Port Hawkesbury called The Snore Shop, and they do a couple tests. You do a test while you're sleeping, really simple stuff. And now I've got the program. So I have a CPAP machine for a month on a trial basis. And if it works out, then I'll end up having to get a machine. But overall, definitely sleeping better. Last week, a little bit of adjustment period. Still trying to get used to everything. And this week, again, you have to wear this little... I almost think of it like, you know, the tube in a hospital that goes in your nose, something like that. It sounds worse than it is. You put this little mask on, and there's all kinds of different masks that fit different people and the shape of your face and all this. Anyway, point being, takes a little bit of getting used to it first, but once I fall asleep, it's the best sleeps I've been having in a long time. And definitely feel more energy in the daytime most days. So I'm really happy about that, and I think that's why I've been able to, you know, I recorded something yesterday and was able to record it again today. Just having that little bit extra energy from sleeping better. So I'm really happy about looking into the CPAP machine. I'm grateful for my friend Robert for telling me about it. And yeah, so that's it. I think I've talked long enough. You probably think so too. So, cheers, everybody. Go to communityfromwithin.com and go to the contact form, send me a note, and go to goodboy.ca to find out where you can get your Good Boy dog treats. Cheers, have a nice day.